Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, happy Monday night, ladies and gentlemen, and we're so glad you tuned in to your show, Raising Expectations. And like we always say, we thank God that you're here tonight with us, and we're so thankful for the things that you send us and text us. The things happening in your lives always encourage us, and we're prayer warriors. We pray for you. So thanks for sharing those with us. We're looking forward to a great show tonight. We just have such a great time when we come together. You all know the team, and you know we're all born-again Christians, and by that we mean in the simplest way, we believe God is who he says he is, and we believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and in doing so, we believe that God sent him here to die on the cross. He died that we might live, and he rose on the third day, giving us newness of life, and you can receive him as Savior. It's between you and him. It's the greatest story that was ever told, and once you know him, it's great. The whole world's trying to figure this out. We know where we're going when we die. We're going immediately to be with him. So in the meantime, we just walk with him, and we pray and listen and talk and share, and he guides us. There's such a great relationship when you know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. You really can't put it in words. You can only experience it in life, and we just hope that you know him that way. So thanks for being with us again tonight on Raising Expectations. We're going to go into our team very quickly and introduce you to them again. Some of you always ask. So we're going to start on the West Coast, and then we come back through this. We're going to take you onto our website first, which is bbsradio.com/raising expectation. No, I'm not taking Prevagen. I just figured that out again very quickly. Sometimes I forget that one. bbsradio.com/raising expectation. You'll find this here. You'll find stories about our team, and you'll be hearing a lot more about this later from Stephanie, but here it is, and you'll be able to find them. So as you look on there, you'll find the stories about what our team does and some of their life and a lot more as you get to talk with them. So on the West Coast, in this great town of Lompoc, next to Santa Barbara, we have Dr. Paul Hall, who's a retired pastor. He's a theologian. Once a pastor, always a pastor. He's known all over, especially in Texas, and the things he's done serving the Lord and helping people. And he's been a great blessing in my life. Paul is also the scribe. He takes the best notes in the world. So he not only shares, but he's taking notes, because you're going to hear more later on about how we're going to share those with you. How you doing, Paul?
Good. Thank you. Good to see you.
All right. Good to see you, too. All right. All right. From the West Coast. Paul and I trek together. We go all the way to the East Coast, actually the south part of the East Coast, right there in Georgia, Dalton, Georgia. We have Steph Thayer and her husband, Dr. Craig Thayer. And they're in Dalton, Georgia, and Stephanie is one on the left, and Craig is the one on the right. There you go. And Stephanie is not retired. Paul's retired. Stephanie is a great health and wellness coach. She knows everything about what you should eat and when you should eat it and how you should eat it. And we really like her because at Christmas she lets us have fudge, and that's awesome. But you'll find her website there, Live Your Life Out Loud. And when you live your life out loud, Christ becomes something, comes through your life to everyone. She helps ladies all the way across the nation, shares and talks with them, and they just look forward to their times talking with Stephanie. She's one of the greatest ladies you'll ever meet. And she's there on the East Coast there, and they live in Dalton, Georgia. And her husband is right there on her right. We're going to kind of move through this tonight, but his name is Tank Actually, it's Craig. It's Tank is his nickname. And I'll go into that story later for you. Most of you know that one, and that's why we love him. He's the best surgeon you're going to find anywhere in the nation. And the two of them together, we call it the dynamic duo, because they just bless people. They love Jesus, and they're a witness to Christ and their families. And it's amazing what God does through their life each week. They bless my life like Paul does. We all are excited about what God's doing. And right down there, you'll find that he is a trauma surgeon. And he's the guy that figures things out when people say, I pass. They pass it to him. And he says, what do we do now, Lord? I just love it the way he gave his testimony once. And you'll want to get his testimony in his book. And you'll find that back on the website, bbsradio.com/raising expectation, saved. Finding God in the Ordinary was the trauma surgeon's true accounts of the miracles of his life. This is the story of Craig Thayer and what Tank went through growing up and the things in his life that God always put together. And I always love it when he shared with us that he grew up on Providence Street, and God had a big reason in that. He could always remember there he was on Providence Street, and God was working there. So they are from California. Northern California, but they'll be sharing more with us later. We're anxious to bring them on and give a topic very soon here that we're talking about in June. We've got some great things coming. Can't wait to share with you. So also my book's on there, Legitimate Faith, F-A-I-T-H, Forsaking All, I Trust Him. That's what you can do when the Lord lives in your heart, and he will help you to live that way. And it'll produce an authentic hope. And hope is assurance in the New Testament. When you see that word hope, it means you can take it to the bank and count on it because Christ paid for it for you at Calvary. So I hope you get a copy of that book. They're both on there, and you can find them there on our website, bbsradio.com/raising expectation. So if we come back from the East Coast, the south part of the East Coast, and we make our way to East Texas, which is still in the South also. And you'll find one of our favorite pastors in the state of Texas there. And that would be Ron Greer, Pastor Ron Greer in McKinney, Texas. And Ron is also, Ron's done a lot of things in life. And you've heard his testimony two or three times. We're going to bring everybody back around again sometimes for everybody. But Ron works with Man in the Mirror now. He does a great job using the Word of God and his pastoral experience. He was a pastor in blessing and helping men to find who they are. And you'll find that he helps churches all through Texas there, and he's the area director there. And you can get a hold of him right there on our website. You can see his directions to get to his life right there and what he's doing. You'll want to know these people. Lead with a purpose. They lead with purposes in their life that will bless your life. And they love to hear about your life, too. We'd love to know what God's doing in your lives, because it's neat to see that, once again, every blood-bought, born-again believer is a walking, talking picture. You remember VBS when you were little kids and said, they sang that little song, Do You Know, Old Christian, You're a Sermon in Shoes? So walk it and talk it, a sermon in shoes. When I hear from you what God's doing in your lives, you are a sermon in shoes. These people bless my life and everybody the same way. So maybe you read what we're going to talk about this week. We're pretty excited about it. If I got a lot of words back here, I also got a new phone, learning how to use it, which makes it real fun. But you know, we're going to talk about Mother's Day, and hopefully some of you had called in about that. And I love quotes. I know you love quotes. I love history. I'm a history fanatic. I love to study it. Abraham Lincoln, in speaking about mothers, Mother's Day is Sunday. We thought we'd give you a head start on it, because if you're thinking about it today, you'll be in good shape for your mother by Sunday when we worship the Lord and we think about Mother's Day. Abraham Lincoln said, no man is poor who has a godly mother. And boy, that's a true statement. And you know, as we ponder this profound statement that he made there, we're reminded of God's beautiful plan and God's design when it comes to a woman who becomes a mother this way, who has the heart and the love of Christ for her children. And she remains cognizant, a mother like this, as a ropeway there, of her influential role and the responsibilities over their lives and the futures of those children. And she makes sacrifices for their welfare and their future without any hesitation. And I remember that all the time with my mother and the things that she would bring up that way. So I want to show you one thing. I want to read it. Give you a couple of quick scriptures, and I'm going to pass this off. We're going to start with Stephanie and ladies first, and kind of go around, and they're going to share about their moms, and then we're going to interact, and we may open this up later where you can even call in. In fact, I can give you a number right now if we still have time, so you'll remember this. If you want to call in, there'll be a number for you to get on. It would be 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008, or a direct line would be 323-744-4831. 323-744-4831. I'm kind of a sentimental guy, you know. I'm gonna pass this off later. I'm wearing my mother's favorite shirt, and my mother went home to be with the Lord in 2017. Ron, you know shirts and things. Yeah, don't worry, it's clean. But 2017, this is a shirt. I don't think they make it anymore. Remember when Dockers were around? Dockers was the name of they had pants and shirts, and I don't even know if they make them anymore. But this one's for you, Mom. Are they still around?
Yeah.
Good. I am too. So that's a good deal. Okay. That worked out really well. Okay. This reminds me, and two scriptures, and I'm going to pass this ball. Proverbs 31:28 and Psalm 127:1. Proverbs 31:28 and Psalm 127:1. Her children rise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praiseth her. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Those two key scriptures about a mother. Here's something that was always a special verse right here. I love this. A godly mother is a treasure, a gift more precious than gold. Her children rise up and call her blessed, and in high esteem do hold. Her love is like that of our Savior, who sacrificed his own life that we might live joyfully godly lives. In a troubled world of strife, her heart is like his, holding us close no matter how far we roam. Her arms are always wide open to forgive us and welcome us home. Her hands are busy molding our lives from the moment we're born, planting seeds, loving, discipling, and disciplining, even when we are weary and worn. Her feet are always careful to go where her child can follow there. How could we thank our mother enough for her tender, loving care? A godly mother fervently prays for that child she loves so much, for she knows the fruit of her vineyard depends on the master's touch. Thank you, Mom. My mother was a special lady. I'm going to tell you, her name was Jean Schofield. And I know some of my kin are looking in tonight. And the best thing I can remember, along with the love, because some of you got to share one funny one too. We had a steep driveway. We lived in Glendale, looked out over the San Fernando Valley. My favorite place to go was to climb up on the roof and lean on the roofs, on the roof, looking by the chimney and look out across the San Fernando Valley about 22, 23 miles to the Pacoima, the stacks of the Sepulveda Ironworks way out there at the other end of the San Fernando Valley. And as we sit out there, there's a big eucalyptus tree at the top of our driveway that was steep and went straight up. And one morning, having a lot of friends in high school, like you guys remember, they got a little rambunctious sometimes. I'm sure I did nothing to deserve this. But in any event, my mother, bless her heart, our bedrooms were in the back. It was through the living room, past the double fireplace, and up on the back of where we were. And she came screaming through. It was Sunday morning, and I know we were going to church. And she came screaming through, "Donald, Donald, Donald, Donald." That's my dad's name. He figured that by now. And she came running through. She's screaming, "Donald, Donald, somebody run quick. Somebody just parachuted into our tree." Well, we had been teepeed. And All the lines of toilet paper were hanging down and they were blowing in the wind. And she was afraid there was the body at the bottom of it. She said, quick. And I fell on the floor to get out there and get her. I mean, this really, she's like a 5:30 early riser. And I went out there, it's okay, Mom, it's okay, it's just toilet paper. And my father said, it's okay, Gene, it's okay. Now you get to clean it. That was a great time. Great time with your mom, you can remember. So I'm going to pass this baton off right now. There's nothing like a mother's love. And I know I'm going to pass it to Stephanie. I know this mother's love, and Tank has shared it, and her boys and her family. And this lady loves the Lord and is a testimony to all of us. So, Stephanie, I'm going to pass this to you.
Thank you. I think I'll share. My mom and I loved to sing together, which is funny because if you asked me to publicly sing, I probably wouldn't do it. But as a child, the school I was at, we all the kids were in band, all the kids were in choir, and I loved harmonizing with her. And I would actually sit and play the piano with her. Especially Christmas carols or in the car, we would do Amazing Grace and stuff like that. And so I loved those times. I really appreciated those times. And it's funny because when I will sing certain songs that, they bring up memories and it'll pop in your head. And I just wanted to share from a female perspective, I wanted to be a mom more than anything. And I, one of my big fears was that I wouldn't be able to have children. Like, what if, it's not easy for everybody. It doesn't happen. What if I never get married? All these things. I was worried about it. And I can honestly say it's probably the best project I've ever had in my life, and also the hardest. And as a mom who's the last of five is leaving in a couple of months, it's very hard. They take a piece of you. It's such a beautiful journey to be a piece of, and you want them to fly, but you also mourn that. And just a reminder for people listening, I know this weekend can be hard if you've lost a mom. If you didn't have the mom that maybe you felt like you needed, we get opportunities with grandparents, with or grandmas, with your mother. Sometimes you like, I have an aunt I'm very close with. I kind of consider her like a quasi mom. You get the opportunity to be a mom, and then you might get to watch your children be mothers, and even your grandchildren. And that's one of my favorite things is actually watching our daughter be a mother. She's absolutely amazing. So it's really neat to watch that journey. And I do think that it's something ingrained in women. We are meant to coddle and make sure they're okay. And then the dads come in and, toss them in the air and toughen them up. And so it's just such a beautiful journey, life and raising a family.
Amen. Amen. Nothing
You challenge yourself even more because you're homeschooled. So
but
try and not be a parent and just be the teacher when they're misbehaving is very
I did not want to do it, by the way, and it's one of the best things we ever did. So God has a sense of humor. Don't say I'll never XYZ, because that's probably what
Amen.
you're going to end up doing.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
That's when you get it. Yeah, that's right.
Exactly.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Homeschooling
Want to go
was
over
probably
there?
our biggest argument, I think, because I was a public product all the way through.
And I was a
So,
private school product.
and then, but then she frequently reminded me, well, your high school, the US News, it was the only public school in the top 50 in the country. So you kind of were in Providence,
Yeah.
blessed to begin with, right? So, yeah, it's true. You look back and you can, like I said, see the miracles in your life.
Amen. Yeah, aunts, uncles, mothers, daughters, it's all special. You think about that, how it comes together.
Yeah, personally, I'm blessed because I get to kind of thank two mothers. One that created me in Michigan and birthed me in Monterey, California, and then had me for 10 days and gave me up for adoption. And then my adoptive mom, who I call mom because she's the one that raised me,
Amen.
Irish Catholic in Cork. The county of Cork, a town of Cork, Ireland, and was there during World War II. I would send them back and forth for probably 6 months then. During that bombings, she was probably there in London doing some kind of construction or war effort thing, and then back and forth. And I still have a ration book that It's probably the year she left, which was 53. And so when she was 21, she moved. So this is 8 years after the end of World War II. She still has work. They're still rationing food in England. It's called rough life. And yeah, just a blessing.
Man,
Wow.
sacrifice.
Yeah, especially raising me.
I have a story about his mom. I never met her because she passed away when Craig was
She's, I was
pretty
18.
young, but
40.
she's like 5'2", and Craig
Yeah.
is 6'5", and she was fiery Irish, and he listened to his mama.
She could be quoted as saying, "You're never too large for me to put you over my knee." And that was effective. And he probably needed it. Yeah, she
From
was
what
a
I read,
teacher.
he needed it.
Yeah, I did. I did.
Yes,
I
nice
would.
report cards.
It's funny. For a long time, I give my dad credit for kind of the empathy and the training of body language and not behaving. I would argue with her all the time. As soon as I got the first chance to argue with her, it was almost I'd argue one way one week and the other way the next. And but the reality was, she was the punching bag, and my dad was the one kind of teaching me, so it was really more her that was, okay, I'm learning what I should not say by her, my not being so nice. So yeah.
You saved the best for your moms.
Yeah,
We
yes,
know.
yeah.
And nothing like a mother's love. It's
Oh.
expressed in different ways. Yeah. And I always think of both of you when we talk about families and your kids. And, and of course, Ron's fantastic family too. And we think of the things in our lives, but we kind of went down some of the road with you guys, the Thayers, and watching them, all the stuff you've done there. And it's what comes out, what our mothers put into us, and our aunts or uncles, and aunts rather for Mother's Day. Yeah, I bet straight. But anyway, what they do in our lives. There was one poem I was looking at, and I looked at a lot of Helen Steiner Rice, but I read some other ones that talking about how it really goes on, and it goes on until Christ comes back. You pass it on, and it was passed on so well to you, Steph. I mean, and and Tank the same way, what came through. And I think about my mom, and she had two sisters, there's three of them, and what it came through. And I'm just so thankful that that's the way God works. Nobody, they don't come out of a cookie cutter. They're all unique, wonderful, and different, and so.
Well, and I think if you grew up in a faith-based family, you have no idea how many prayers went up, the kinds of prayers that went up. I mean, one of my biggest prayers for my kids is that they just have amazing godly friendships and community. I know, especially with the younger generations, that it's very isolated, So I've always heard people are always praying for their spouses, and I've done that. But there's so many things that your mom or your grandma or your great grandma probably prayed for you that you have no idea.
Yeah, power of a mother's prayer or grandmother, the same thing. Yeah, you don't even know. And I was singing in nightclubs over in Hawaii and all those things. I wore my mother's knees out, Ron. I mean, it just, and that's exactly the power of a mother's prayer. I mean, they don't say a word. Boy, I mean, they can turn ships around. They're so powerful. Prayers of a mother.
Well, some of us were much better at getting our mothers to pray than others, so.
Are you an expert?
Yeah, Ron.
Absolutely
Yeah.
professional.
You helped her. Tell us about it, Ron. Tell us about it.
My mother prayed for me for a number of years. She later in between she kind of hint, but I found out later how much she prayed. It was warranted. But the prayers were effectual. So my mother is the oldest of I think it's nine kids. And actually she is still alive, and all but two of her siblings are gone. And the two youngest ones are still alive, and she's still alive. But she got married at 16. My dad was 7 8 years older. She got they eloped, got married. She went back home. My grandmother beat her. because
Oh no.
he eloped.
she whipped her after she came home and told she was married, and then got them in the house and started, you know, started being supportive. But she, it was an interesting story that you got a whipping at your house after you were married. But anyway, but yeah, she, but she, my mother's an amazing woman. She was hard. She was, well, here's the deal. You've got seven kids. You married at 16. You got seven kids by the time you're 27.
Wow,
And that's five of them were boys.
oh,
Hard-headed, energetic boys. So
poor
she kind of
mom.
ruled with an iron fist in the house there. But she was a godly woman who made sure we were raised in church and raised around only good church people. And
Amen.
I still bucked the whole thing, unfortunately. But yeah, she had this thing, had this way of talking with you, depending on what the circumstance was, right? But it was always sort of in your face. It's like she always acts as if I couldn't hear her. So whether it was being nice or telling me something nice, or which was most of the time, it was she was trying to give me a warning about something because I didn't listen very well. Here's one story. So I was suspended about 30 times in 1 year in fourth grade at at Hopkins Elementary School. And the principal to this very day, I remember his name, Mr. Herman Goldberg. My parents, he and my mother and father were on first name basis. That's how often they were in his office for me. But it's more my mother than my father because she could leave work and come to the school and, you know, do her little disciplinary action at the school and then go off. But so she had had it. And by the time I got to sixth grade, I was going to go to junior high school. Well, we wanted to go to the junior high school where all our friends were going. And my mother had determined we were not going to that school. And we were going to move to a different neighborhood, to a new school. And my brother and I had a bright idea. Since mom's at work, we'll just go to school and register, and then we'll be there. And she didn't think too kindly of that. So she made sure we were out of the school. She came up to the school and made a big ruckus at the school, made sure we were embarrassed. And then she took us to the new Parkman Junior High School about 3 or 4 days later and got us all registered and took us around a brand new school and new staff. And then my brother went on about his with, and she had me come with her to the door, front door she was leaving. Well, you go in between the outside door and inside door in a little foyer area there. And she bends down and she grabs me by my shirt and my face. And she says, "If you get in one fight, I'm going to kill you."
Lovingly, though. Yes, lovingly.
And did you take her seriously?
Well, that's the thing. My mother has this thing, right? She's crazy. But she might, so it's
She
like
might do
she might really kill you. And she had that look in her face. It's like you don't know and you don't want to try it. And it was one of those things that I figured, better not try on this one. So I really did. I spent my first few months at junior high school. I would go to lunch and then hide out in the hallways until lunchtime was over because I knew if I hung around other kids, I'd get into fights. That was my remedy. I was so afraid that she would kill me.
Boy, she sure loved you. Wow.
But things like things she but things like she somehow listened to one of the older guys at church who said he saw something in me. And my mother, his name was Deacon Tony. My mother took me to Deacon Tony and assigned me to him, which I thought the worst thing, most miserable punishment ever. And Deacon Tony, since he saw things something in me, he would take me to the nursing home and he would pray with people, have me read scripture, and then he'd go to the hospital and visit people. And oh, I want to kill myself. My brothers and everybody else was playing outside and blah, blah, blah. And I'm walking around, driving around this old guy. But he swore that God had spoke to him and showed something to
Amen.
him. It was a few years later. But then last story, my mother was sacrificial, like no one's business. We grew up in, was started out in Denmark, Tennessee, the Jim Crow South. We moved to the city because my mother was tired of the country. My father went along because she was that kind of woman. And then in about 1964, 65, she was tired of the South and she was going north up to Milwaukee. And she left her husband and seven kids and moved to Milwaukee I said, I'll send for you later. So she moved, got a job, two jobs, worked, and then sent for us, and we moved up in the fall of that year. I was horribly disappointed and mad because I left all my friends, and it was cold, Milwaukee, and just wasn't accustomed to the whole deal there. But she made it clear that she was going to sacrifice and make sure we had a better life. And that's just her, I mean, throughout. We lived in the inner city. After the riot, she got tired of the ghetto. She said, we're out of here. And somehow she talked some white man into letting her have a loan for a house. And we bought this house in a predominantly white neighborhood away from everybody. And everybody thought she was crazy. But somehow she talked somebody to get it and got the house. And we moved there. Everybody in the family thought. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Look, she's powerful. That's great.
Oh, yeah. My mother had, I tell people we should have been multimillionaires growing up as a multimillionaire. There was no such thing as limits for her. She had no idea it was too far fetched. She had a number of business ideas that my dad balked against and should have gone because somebody else did it and made mint. One being that she had an opportunity to open up one of the first franchise McDonald's in Milwaukee, inner city. And my father said it was dumb. Called Blundell, you can't make no money selling 10 cent hamburgers.
Oh my goodness.
Two of the families that went to that meeting still to this day own all the McDonald's and Burger Kings in the Milwaukee area.
Look at that. Isn't that
something? Yeah. The other part of the sacrifice is I went to prison in the Marine Corps in 1975. And my mother, again, always reminds me, she was praying for me. She gave me a nice lecture before I left. And she got to a point where she figured she needed to see me face to face. And she got my older brother and my sister and my girlfriend at the time in a 1967 Buick Skylark. And they drove from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, all the way to Kansas to see me in Leavenworth. Wow. Came on Easter, Good Friday, and they saw me on Good Friday and saw me Easter morning. And I still to this day have no idea how that car made it there and back. But she with her deal, she wanted to see her son. Pray for me in person and encourage me. So yeah, she just always been that kind of mother. Always.
Talk about a prayer warrior, huh? Wow.
Oh yeah. Oh, gracious.
Okay, I'm going. God, you're going. Okay, I got you. Wow, that's great. Hey, Paul. Oh, gracious. That's awesome, huh? We're sure glad she prayed that way.
Absolutely.
I'm so glad.
Absolutely. Wow.
You got to write a book, Ron. You're going to write a book someday? Boy, you've had a colorful life. I'd love to read that book. You know, that'd be something.
Actually, it's on my computer to start it, but we haven't got to it.
I understand. Yeah, I've gotten as far as chapters, headings. That's about it. Yeah.
Come on, Tank. Help us out, man. Help us out.
That's right.
Yeah. This. My mother passed away in November of last year.
Yeah.
So she's been gone, you know, 6 months or so. I think I've done more funerals than I can remember counting. But one of the common themes I try to say in the funeral is that the way that we keep these people alive is to keep telling their story. We need to tell their story. And my mom, when she passed away, she was about 4'11". And she had been 5'2", so she shrank about 3 inches. I always got tickled because I could hold my arm out and she could walk under it without touching my arm. It was so much fun. But my mom's story, and I can gel this down really quickly. She had two sisters and one brother. She was the youngest, and she outlived her siblings. But she was. Her father, her dad, my grandpa, who I still remember, was a railroad man. He worked for the Louisville and Nashville Railroad, the L&N. My mom was born in a section house, a house that the railroad owned.
Wow.
And so she was born in a section house, and life was, it was a challenge. She was told by her mother when she was old enough to comprehend words that she was a mistake and really wasn't wanted. You know, they just didn't plan on her. So that colored her life, all of her life. That never got away from her. That went so deep into her heart and into her psyche. consequently, that had some repercussions down the line. I refer to my dad died in August. So dad died in August. Mom died in November. Dad was 96. Mom was 93. So they lived a long life. And I described when we had their I had their funeral together in this last January. And one of the things I said at the funeral, which I believe to be true, is that they loved each other very much, but they didn't love each other very well, if that makes any sense at all. Dad was raised in an orphanage. He was adopted when he was 14, and Mom was told she was a mistake. So you put those two together, and that comes up with an interesting thing. I was an only child. I have a cousin who's more like a brother that I, you know, really lean on. And but Mom, she could be fierce, and that's what I catch from listening to you, Ron, especially. But Mom, she'd always stand her ground, and I didn't want to cross my mom. She lit me up more times. I mean, I could have lit up the city of Milwaukee, you know, and I never did anything wrong. I was a good kid, you know, but she had to practice on me. But boy, if I crossed her sense of right and wrong, she let me know it. And I think that had some impact. Oh, that's a pun. That had an impact on me as well, growing up. But, she was selfless in terms of her family. Mom had an accident when she was in a restaurant, a movable wall, a waiter hit this movable wall and the wall fell and hit her in the back and pinched her between the table and the wall. She was a telephone supervisor at the time, but she wasn't able to continue in that vein. But she went, after that happened, she went to cosmetology school and became a licensed hairdresser. And she worked, and she was just tireless and selfless, you know, in that regard, which I very much admire. You know, it had a, I'm sure that had an impact, because I'm kind of, I hate to say, that sounds so self-serving. I learned from her to be selfless when it came to my family. There's nothing I wouldn't do for my family to encourage them and support them and direct them and guide them. Now, if you talk to my kids, maybe you'd hear a different story, because pastors were gone all the time. But she really was selfless. And towards the end, she was in a facility called Countryside in Mount Vernon, Illinois. And I had the privilege of spending the month of August back there. So I was there when my father passed, but I wasn't there when Mom passed. But she would tell me, and she had the early stages of dementia, so some things just weren't clinging very well, but she would never fail to say two things. And she would look at me and say, "You know, you were always loved, don't you?" And I always answered the affirmative. I did. I always knew that I was loved. And she says, "And when you talk to your children, you tell them that Grammy loves them very much." And and I would pass that along. So those two things, I, you know, really, really went deep. But this is the first Mother's Day in 75 years that, you know, that she's on the other side. Now, enough about my mom. I do want to tell you that Joe and his family and I were in the big town of Buffalo Gap, Texas. Doesn't that sound big? Buffalo Gap. We're in Buffalo Gap, and it was July. I think it was July 4th. There was a party. Anyway, Joe's mom, she was just a precious lady. She could wink with. She just had this thing about closing her eye. You know, this one eye is really fun. But she was sitting in a lawn chair, and I had launched a frisbee to Joe. And she didn't see it coming. And she stood up, and that banged her right in the forehead. And she just casually sat back down. You know, it's just so much fun. But that's something we never forgot. She was a neat lady. But tribute to my mom. She was a scrapper and loved very deeply. And I'm not sure she ever let it get inside that she was loved in return. I'm not sure that really ever happened. So I'm going to keep telling her story. That's her story.
You know, you mentioned your mom's, the sacrifice of the jobs, right? That same with mine. It's just, She cleaned houses for white families when we were in Tennessee. She and my aunt tells me, my aunt is 90, she's like 96 or something like that. And she
Amen.
tells me the same story every time I see her. She
Man.
goes, I just love Blondell. She's in my wedding. She's my flower girl. So
Yeah.
close, ma'am. Now, which one are you? You Ronnie, right? I said, yes, ma'am, Ronnie. She says, I just love Blondell. She's the first color girl to work at Rexall Drugs.
What a
She's got
joy.
all these firsts that she did. But it's like as I said, she was fearless. She
Yes.
did things in Jim Crow South that other black people wouldn't do. Actually braving some things to do certain things, right? But then wasn't afraid to do anything to care for a family. I mean, she worked for two families. And then I'll tell you, went to Milwaukee, worked in George Webb hamburger place, and then in a factory. Oh, excuse me. So she's worked for Briggs and Stratton doing piecework, which is why she was so angry when my principal called her, because she had to leave the factory. And if you're not making parts, you're not making money.
Yeah.
So she,
Yeah.
but she worked in Briggs and Stratton. She worked, went from there to working for another factory. And then she decided she wanted to be an airline stewardess because she wanted to travel. So she
Wow.
had seven kids and she was 30 something years old, and announced to everyone she was going to go to Phoenix, Arizona to this airline steward school for Eastern Airlines or something. We thought she was joking. My dad thought she was crazy. And then all our friends thought she was crazy and she was joking. Until she wrote a whole, there are like 3 or 4 pages on the side of the refrigerator for all the meals for the week, 2 weeks she's going to be gone, who's going to cook what, who's responsible for what, garbage, cleaning. She had a whole side of the refrigerator. She made a whole menu right
Damn.
now for
And
the
she
whole
went.
time. And she went. She went to be an airline stewardess, passed, got certified, came back and decided she didn't want to work for the airlines. And then she became a travel agent for about, I don't know, for another 6, 7, 8 years. Decided she didn't want to do that anymore, and she became a bank teller for another year. And then she went to school and got her teaching something. She became a substitute teacher
Wow.
for about probably 10, 11 years. It's like whatever she decided to do, whatever was going to pay the best money for her family. And it was always, when she talked to my dad, he was always against whatever she was going to do. And to this day, I have no clue why he ever even objected. It was just so stupid to me.
Because you're not gonna win.
You got to do it anymore.
Yeah.
But it's
Hey,
like,
walk through the
it was
water.
always about, she'd always had a little thing together. Well, I can make this much money, and then we put this much here, and we can do such and such. It's going to pay this right here. And he sit there and he go, "You can't do that." And she go, "Well, anyway, I just want to tell you." And she goes.
Okay, so I have a story about money.
Yeah.
Not my mom. My mom is a good spender. She did not get this skill from her mother. But my
Yeah.
grandma was a complete penny pincher and she was in charge
Oh.
of the budget. So she always told my grandfather they were broke, which they were not broke. And I don't think he knew that until she passed away. But she, on trips, she wanted to determine what level of hotel it required where they would no longer give you tissue for your nose. And this is like in the 90s, and she was traveling with her because my mom's one of three girls. It's about $50 a night, if you're wondering. That's where they no longer give you tissues. And that's where she decided, okay, we'll stay at the place that's like 55. That was the party line. Yes.
That tissue.
She
Man.
was so frugal.
Doing her homework. That's good.
Oh, Laura. That's really good. It's
Well, God
unreal.
should just give direction. Boy, he gives direction on
Oh,
that,
yeah. My mom was, it's a whole, to me, it's a generational thing back for them back then. She was
Yes.
a stick-to-me penny pincher, too. Oh,
Daddy
gracious.
could too.
No matter
Yeah.
what, you could fix something, clean it. I'm going, why can't I just get a new one?
Yeah.
And yeah,
Make
oh,
it last,
gracious.
right?
Yeah.
Take care of
Yeah, my mom was in London. She was building bikes and she knitted. And then when she came to the States, she was a master assembler. So
Wow.
she worked at ESL. And ESL is famous for the Bay Area because it was the first postal person that came back to shoot people in the office type thing, and yeah, luckily she wasn't there.
Wow.
Yeah, scary.
Whole different generation, what I'm telling you. Whole different generation.
Y'all
That's
getting a
crazy.
lot of reactions here. I keep looking down at my phone, different people. Paul and I have a good friend, Melba Hernandez, down at the University of Texas, and she's in, and Frank Roberson from last week. You know, Frank, if you get a Dallas Cowboy guy to call us, we're doing pretty good. Right? Yeah. But yeah, and I don't know. I look back. My mother just went through so many things. That way, she became the head wedding hostess for Forest Lawn Memorial Park, you know,
Oh.
that's where I got
Wait,
one of
wait,
my
wait, wait. You said wedding host for Forest Lawn?
wedding hostess on the other side. We marry them and bury them. You could whichever side of the card. No, I'm just kidding. But
Thought
Forest
Forest
Lawn.
Lawn was a
It's a famous cemetery, but yeah, that must be good there.
same thing. Did you hear him? Yeah.
Did you really hear that?
Well, the best thing is that Joe was a box boy.
That too.
Replaced by a
Yeah,
robot.
but anyway, yeah, they have churches there. The famous church is Rudyard Kipling's church, you know, the Bear Necessity. Well, that was famous Jungle Book author. His is the Church of the Recessional, the Wekirk of the Heather from Little Annie Laurie, the great historical fact. And was that Scotland on, I think? And so those
Wow.
churches are still in the exact replicas. That's where the big statue of David is.
Right,
The
right.
Michelangelo and everything. And then we had an earthquake there. I'm not kidding. We had an earthquake because our house ended right by the Forest Lawn Wall. We lived on an open country behind us, could see the valley.
Wow.
And in the end of our backyard was the Forest Lawn Wall. You know, our neighbors
Wow,
were
wow.
bothered us, very quiet. Dad says, boy, it's going to be something here on come and get it day when the Lord comes back. We better move. It's going to be loud. But all these little churches were there, and they did the famous traditions, you know, with the rings that people
Okay.
loved in history, and had a lot of weddings there. In fact, I was a wedding attendant. My mother got a job for me, so I tried to watch those things. And long story short, I had like five weddings that day, and that was the day after we'd had a
Wow.
football game and everything else the night before, and I was dragging and got to the next to last one. And when they kissed at the end, you know, the bride and the groom. You guys knew who was going to kiss anybody. I didn't put that in. But the bride and the groom at the end, and there's a place where they get the ring and they see me kiss the bride. And as they lift the veil, my job from my little window in the back after sitting all flowers, I would pull this thing way up in the chancel. This bell would open up and beautiful white rose petals would fall down. And they take a time-lapse photography of film of that that the bride and groom get to keep. Well, it was great. I said, you may kiss the bride. And I'm looking again, and I'm pulling. Nothing's happening. And I'm going, oh no. And I go, is it good? The whole bell came down. This big metal bell, this thing with the rose at the gate, came right down, hit the groom smack in the middle of the head, knocked him cold. I'm still looking terror-stricken through the little window. And Dr. Prophet, the old Presbyterian pastor, did a lot of weddings there. He's standing there just as calm in his Presbyterian robe, calm. And by then, I came running out with the smelling salts, which was my job. And I was a senior in high school. And came running out there, and I got the groom up with Dr. Prophet and the bride. Here's all the flowers. And the groom looked up and he goes, I said, are you okay? Are you okay? I forgot his name. I knew him kind of. He goes, wow. He reached up, took her, and he goes, wow, baby, what a kiss. They wrote it down. They made the paper with it and everything. And I still had my job. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Mom didn't fire me. She could have fired me. She was in charge of all those things. That's a good time. Close to your mother's dad. Worked out, lucked out on that one. Anyway.
Joe, you must know why they put fences around cemeteries. People are dying to get in.
Nah. That's it. That's it.
That
That's
joke.
it, Colleen.
So bad.
We're getting now we have more people in Southern California reacting to this. So they love hearing things, what's happening. Well, I think we could say this before I pass this ball to Steph real quick. We're just blessed. God's been good to us with our families. Amen. And
Amen. Amen.
Stop and look at them. We have so much to be thankful for. We all have so many stories we could share. And I feel that way about all of you. I just love and appreciate you guys. You're like family now. Paul say the same thing. Paul and I go back 55 years, even after my mother decked, he decked my mother rather with a frisbee. But that was, my mom just loved Paul. But I think God blessed us this way. Blessed by the way Stephanie as a mom raised the kids and what you guys do. And thank you. You brothers are just like family. So we're very, very blessed. I know a lot of people correspond that way about this. So we just want to let you know on Mother's Day, mothers are very special, very, very special. So don't forget your mom at that point or your family. And Steph, maybe you could cover for us. Share real quick about that.
Yeah, I'll do a quick little thing. So you can learn everything there is about us. Well, not everything, but, you know, important things at the website, bbsradio.com/raising expectations. And I'm just going to highlight, if you just scroll down a tiny bit, you'll see there's different areas that you can donate right there. We do the snail mail way. You can contact Pastor Joe. We do the high tech way with the QR codes, with the donate button. You see that little orange yellow? That's also what Amazon uses, because you're more likely to purchase with that color. Isn't that interesting? And PayPal uses it for their donate. Yeah. And then there's all the other things that you can get on the website. And we don't have to talk about that because we got to talk about our mamas tonight. So.
Right. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Much better. So God bless your moms. And for those that have gone ahead of us, we're going to go see them when we get there. And I know, at least I know this, Paul's mom and mine, they're up there having fun right now together. I know that. And like all of us at that point. It is, TJ, did you send a note? Oh, yeah. Send that note one more time, TJ. Did you get a note, Steph? Do you see on there?
Let's see. He says it's his favorite episode so far. He didn't give us a timer.
That's only because he put it on live with, like, no music.
No music.
So the beginning, we have no idea we're talking to everybody.
You guys miss. At the beginning, before TJ even lets us go live, we have some pretty funny banter.
Yeah, folks, if you listen to all that, if he leaves it in, you're just part of our family. Just join in next time. This may become something to do every week for fun.
It wasn't my fault. They just kind of dragged me into this. You're good, pretty professional.
Ron didn't do it. He's great. Yeah, we got the best engineer in the whole wide world. TJ, we love
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
So part of our family. I lost the track of my time. It's 6:15. Okay. We got to go. Yeah. Okay, hey. We're all going to say goodbye. And remember, hug your mom. And if yours gone on ahead, then find a mom. You go to church on Sunday. Find a mother there. Make sure you know her, kind of. And give her a hug and say, that's for me and my family. And that's from all my friends on Raising Expectations.
Amen. Amen.
They're praying for you, too. We got some people coming up. We have a great counselor going to be with us next week. You're going to enjoy this a lot. Her book is called Trainwreck to Triumph. You're going to really enjoy being with us next week. And so we'll look forward to you. God bless you and keep you. Right, guys? And Our Lady. All right. And
Amen.
Thanks for sharing and thanks for tuning in. God bless and keep you until we meet again.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you until we meet again.
Amen.
God bless. Happy Mother's Day.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.